gracious God, loving Holy Father, thank you, praise Lord, for today and for being with us, Lord, throughout the day on this Lord's Day, and helping us to go out and come back safely, Lord, as we are, Heavenly Father, as a small group, Lord, our two families gather here around the throne of grace, Heavenly Father, with one purpose. That purpose is to know you, to understand you, and to hear from you, Lord, and also to praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to do that so that it doesn't become routine, Heavenly Father, and it doesn't, Heavenly Father, become, Heavenly Father, a habit, Heavenly Father. But truly, Lord, it comes from our own hearts, Heavenly Father, and our own spirits that are so overwhelmed with thy goodness and with thy faithfulness, with thy love, with thy compassion in our lives, Heavenly Father. Thank you, praise you for that. And I also ask and pray that, Lord, you be with me. I know, Lord, I'm an unworthy vessel. Heavenly Father, you touch my mouth and you give me the words that I needed and all of us needed tonight, so that whatever we do here, Lord, our meditation and our worship would be pleasing and acceptable in the sight. Thank you, praise you, be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So 2 weeks back, I wanted to continue on that, theme that we started, right? Just wanted to know about God. And we saw God is righteous, right? Or the righteousness of God. Today, briefly, I want to look at one more aspect. That aspect is the goodness of God, right? Or otherwise, in other words, you could say the Lord is good, or you could say the goodness of God. For that, you know, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Verses 18 to 20. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18, 19, and 20. So I'll read 18, and maybe Brother Madhu, you can read 19, and Sister Mansi, you can read 20. And then we'll also read one more scripture portion, that is 34, verse 6. Okay, maybe Rachel can read that. Isaac, get your Bible too. Okay, so I'm reading Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. I'm reading. It says, this is Moses speaking to God. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Verse 19, brother.
32, brother.
33, brother. Okay.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place.
No. Verse 19, brother. Verse 19, right? Yeah. 33, verse 19.
Okay. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me until.
Okay, verse, same, stay there on the same page, chapter 34, verse 6. Okay, that's enough, right? So in these two verses that we saw, I want to focus on the phrase goodness, right? In chapter 33, verse 19, it says, this is, we all know this context here, right? This is, you know, Moses asking God, God, show me your glory, right? When Moses asks that, This is how God responds. God says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Right? That's very interesting. I think what God is saying is that I will make my goodness pass before thee. And then God also says, you know, I'll proclaim my name. Okay, and then he says, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. You know, I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. Verse 20 is also important in this context. It says, you know, and he said, this is God telling Moses, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Right? Last time I said, God is righteous. We are unrighteous, right? And last time, I don't know if I said that, Bible also talks about God, right? God is dwelling in an unapproachable light, right? That we see that in Timothy. This God, in his fullness of glory, that's what actually Moses asked. Moses, I think, you know, Moses completely didn't understand who God is. But, you know, when God met him in this wilderness, and when God appeared to him in that burning bush, God, you know, Moses asks, what is your name? God says, I am that I am, right? And then, you know, God, Moses has been, you know, now he sees a lot of these things. Now he comes here, Moses is asking, show me your glory. Right? And God is saying, in a way, you can't see my glory, but what you will see is my goodness I'll show you. Right? He's saying that in verse 20, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. So, you know, and then God grants his request, right? And then in verse 34, this is where God is actually showing his goodness to Moses. When Moses asked for, show me your glory, God is saying, I'll pass my goodness before thee, because nobody can see me in my full glory and live, especially a sinful being, right? An unrighteous being, an evil being. And then, you know, God descends in a cloud, and then it is God proclaiming his own name, right? See how he says in 34, it says, And the Lord passed by before him, that is before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Okay, this is important. It says, abundant in goodness and truth. Right, so what I want to say about this goodness of God is, I think, you know, if I were to describe in one maybe sentence, I would say this: God expressing himself, or God manifesting himself to these fallen creatures, you know, after the fall, is actually, it is the overflow of his goodness, nothing else, right? It is the overflow of his goodness. Out of the goodness of God is everything that is good. Right? Last time I said God is righteous, right? But now I'm saying God is good. I think, you know, there's two fundamental things we need to understand about God. If you don't understand these two things, I don't think, you know, whatever we're going to see may not make sense. And it may not make sense. Actually, it may bring you more questions, right? I think that's why these two foundations. God said, I will pass my goodness before you. In a way, what he's saying is that I will show you my good side of me, right? My goodness. You know, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it would have been perfectly fine for God to end the race of Adam there. It would have been perfectly fine. It would have been perfectly just for God. It would have been perfectly good for him to do. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it because out of abundance of his goodness, he had a plan. He had a purpose for you and for me. And everything that we see about God, right? The love of God, the mercy of God, right? The graciousness of God. That's what, you know, God is saying, right? God is saying merciful and gracious, long-suffering. These are all, it's essentially overflow of His goodness, right? It is expression of God's goodness. And that's what we need to understand, right? We need to understand that our God is by nature, I said last time, He is righteous. Not only that, by nature, God is good. If God is good, everything that He does is also good. Okay, everything He does is also good. So, and Bible talks about God's goodness in many different ways. Right here we say that His goodness is abundant. Right? In our version, brother, maybe it says steadfast love. Right? In Telugu it says, you know, melu. Right? Melu. In some other scripture portions, which we're going to get, say, okay, the way that we need to understand, there is good, there is evil. So those are, you know, there's a kind of, you know, antonyms, right? And then you have righteous and unrighteous, like that, right? So when we talk about God being good, it is everything that is in Him, all the expression of goodness, or all the gifts, or anything that you think of, it's because of God's goodness. Right, let's read couple of verses, right? Because I just want to make sure we understand this little more. So why don't we read Nehemiah? Maybe we'll read a couple of verses. I just wanted to read Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25. Can somebody please read that? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25. And Psalms talk, there are a lot of verses about the goodness of God, or God being good, right? I think, you know, I just wanted to look at a couple of these things and then see, you know, how we would apply that goodness of God in our lives, especially, you know, before we go on worship, right? Let's, you know, look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25. Can somebody please read that?
And they captured fortified cities and a rich land, and took possession of houses full of all good things, cisterns already hewn, vineyards, olive orchards, and fruit trees in abundance.
So they ate and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness.
See, this is Nehemiah, you know, essentially saying what happened to this nation of Israel, right? What he's saying is here, they delighted themselves in thy great goodness, right? In Exodus, we saw that, you know, God himself is saying, I am abundant in goodness. And here, you know, Nehemiah is saying, our forefathers, they actually delighted themselves in thy goodness. Everything that you can think of in their lives, or in your life, and in your, you know, in my life, what this verse is telling is that we are delighting in the goodness of God, right? Same thing, you know, one more thing. Here it says, you know, great goodness. Chapter, same thing, chapter 9, verse 35, right? Same concept is repeated in 35 as well, right? And it says, for they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them. Right? Same thing, great goodness. And then we see the same concept in Psalms too, right? In Psalms also, just I'll read one verse. Psalm 31, verse 19. Maybe can somebody please read that? Psalm 31, verse 19. Yes.
Now, yes.
What, you know, Psalmist is saying that, you know, your goodness is great and you prepared for it, you know, for those who trust in you, right? And then in Psalm 33, verse 5, I think it's Psalm 33, verse 5. Second portion.
Psalm 33 verse 5 says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. What he's saying is that the earth is full of God's goodness. Right? Bible talks about, you know, his goodness is abundant. You know, Psalmist and Nehemiah, they're saying it's great goodness. Right? And when you come to New Testament, Paul describes it, I think, you know, even, you know, he describes this in a better way. So if you actually go to Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, maybe can somebody please read that? Romans chapter 2, verse 4.
Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Right? What Paul is saying here, this is obviously, you know, how the judgment is happening, how everybody is judging. He says, thou despises, you know, riches of his goodness. You know, it's like riches of his goodness and abundance of his goodness, right? And then greatness of his goodness. And Bible also talks about, it's not only God being good. Bible also talks about, you know, the earth is full of his goodness. And Bible also says that God is good to all. I think, you know, we also need to understand that God is good to all, right? Psalm 145, verse 9. Can somebody please, if you get it, please read it. Psalm 145. And there are a lot of scriptures that, you know, I could show. But I think, you know, my point is just to, I said these are kind of just the pointers, right? Yes.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
The Lord is good to all, and he's saying his tender mercies are over all his works. His works is essentially his creation, his entire thing that God, right? God is good to everybody. And Bible also talks about the other way to describe God's goodness is, Psalmist says, your name is good, right? Fear God, revealing himself to Moses, he's saying that I will pass my goodness before you. In a way, what you would see of me is my goodness, because you can't see God's holiness in its perfection in our sinful state. We can't see his glory, right? Isaiah saw that. This is also one of the attributes which we could see. Isaiah saw that and he said, oh, I am undone. I am man of unclean lips. Even a glimpse of God's majestic, you know, holiness, I think, you know, it would be breathtaking. And I think, you know, and I think this concept you also see in other religions, right? I think, you know, in other religions they say that if there's some rays fall on, you know, people would be just basmaipan, right? In some mythology, right? But the idea is actually coming from, you know, in my opinion, is actually coming from Bible. So I think, you know, Bible is the root for all forms of religion. I think they just take it and then they just make their own because they don't want to believe the God of the Bible. But anyways, my point is not that. So it says God is good to all. Right? And I also said God's name being good, right? Just maybe just two scriptures and then I want to move on from here. Psalm 52. Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 9.
I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints.
Yes. What Psalmist, you know, is saying here, it's a Psalm of David. I will wait on your name because your name is good. Essentially, what he's saying is that you are good. Right, and the same thing, you know, if you actually read it, Psalm 54, verse 6.
It says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I'll praise thy name, O Lord. I'll praise your name, O Lord, because it is good. Right? So you see all these expressions of God being good. Right? And if you come to New Testament, Jesus himself says in a different way. Right? You could call it as the grace of God, or you could call it as the goodness of God. If you read Matthew 5:45, it is Jesus saying about God. Right? Matthew 5:45. Or maybe I'll read from verse 44. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45 is very important. Right? It says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth the rain on the just and unjust. So in a way, why we are getting rain, why we have sunlight, why people are enjoying all the pleasures in this life, this is essentially because of God's goodness, right? So any form of a good or any form of a blessing that you see is actually out of the abundance of God's goodness. That's what Bible talks about. Right? That's why James, we all read the scripture, we all know the scripture. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So gift of life is from above. You know, gift of enjoying that life is from above. Gift of job that God gives us is from above. It's from God. Gift of marriage, gift of children. You could take anything that is good in this world. And if I really understand my Bible, and if you understand your Bible, all you say is that this is the overflow of the goodness of God. Nothing else. Okay. And this is being expressed in many different ways. Okay. And I don't have time to dwell on that. But I think, you know, one thing that I wanted all of us to understand when we think about our God. One preacher said like this. One preacher said like this. It is very, very important for us. What is the first thing that comes to your mind and my mind when we think about God? Right? What is it that you think of? Or what is it that's going to come into your mind when you think about God? I think that is really, really important. And he also said this, right? He said that if you tell me what comes into your mind when you think about this God of the Bible, I can tell you 50 things about you. Right? So the right understanding of God, the God of the Bible, I think is really, really important. And especially his goodness, we need to understand. If there is no God, there is no good. If there is no God, there is no standard for righteousness. Right? That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we believe in. And I think, you know, there are a lot of scriptures that you could just maybe, you know, something that if you want to ponder on this subject, or if you want to just meditate on this subject, I would just say, you know, look for the scriptures that have either goodness of God, or where it says God is good, or it says where his name is good, right? So I guess, you know, with that, now I wanted to, in the next few minutes that I have, I said, God is good, right? What Moses saw, you know, on that mount is actually goodness of God, right? The name of God, the working of God, everything that we see is actually out of the abundance of his goodness. Right? This God is a good God. And if he's a good God, whatever he does is good. Okay? Now, same thing I want to ask. If God is good, what are we? by nature. Right? Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Can somebody please read that? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Right. So what this verse is saying, what this verse is telling us is that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's the only reason why God had to flood in the first place. You know, this is pre-flood. When you look at the wickedness of man, or man by nature since the fall, when God created him to be good, sin entered. Because of that sin, because of fall, what happened is, you know, we became corrupt. We became evil. And an evil person by nature cannot do good. Right? That doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to see good person. You will see people who are doing good acts. But those good acts in the sight of God are essentially like a filthy rags. Right? Because by nature, you are an evil being. Your thought is evil. Because you have the tendency to rebel against this good God who actually given you the life in the first place, who actually created everything in the first place, right? So, same thing, you know, 8:21. 8:21, right? Yes, 8:21, right?
And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth.
From his youth. Right? The imagination, my version says imagination, or our intention. You know, you have an intention and you act upon it, right? You don't have intention, you don't act upon it. So what God is saying is that human's heart's intention is actually continuously evil. And you have this good God who's giving everything, and then you have this evil human being, and that's where you see what is the loveliness of Christ, or, you know, goodness of God in your life, in my life, and we understand that we are inherently evil, and if you are evil, God is good, what we deserve is punishment. But he doesn't want to give, right? He doesn't want to give that. He wants to withhold that punishment because of his goodness. So God is good and we are evil. God is good by nature. We are evil by birth. Okay? And no matter how many good works, right? For example, if you take, you know, a lot of religions, even Catholicism, right? Or even, you know, everybody believes in karma. Karma is nothing but if you do good, you'll get, you know, in the return you'll get good, right? Our Catholicism says, you do good works, you know, your good works should outweigh your bad works. So if I do some bad, I have to counter that with good. That's not going to get us to heaven, right? That's not going to get us to heaven. So this is where I think, you know, we understand the goodness of God. That's why, you know, I'll go back to the same chapter that I went last time, Romans chapter 2. He's talking about this goodness of God in chapter 2, right? Paul talks about goodness of God in chapter 2, and he comes, and he comes to chapter 3, and he makes these, you know, very staggering statements about the humans, right? In chapter 3, chapter 3, right? Last time, there is none righteous. Nobody seeks God, right? So let's see. Verse 11 onwards. Okay, it says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is no human being on this planet Earth who's seeking after God, right? Who understands God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, not no, not one. right? When you go and preach sometimes gospel, everybody says, oh, man is by nature good.
Okay.
My pastor was reading an article a few weeks back, and that article is actually essentially about humans fundamentally are good. Right? That is the, I think, you know, essence of the article. Bible is saying humans are fundamentally bad. They're not good. Nobody does anything good. Right? It doesn't stop there. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I think, you know, what you need to do, if there is a person who says that he is a good, you need to actually get that person and you actually touch his wrong nerve and you actually see what curses comes out of his mouth. I think, you know, that is true for all of us. We may look good outside, we may act like we are good people, but if I touch that wrong nerve, or if I get on that nerve, you will see what comes out of my mouth, or all of our mouths. How agitated we would be, how bad words we would use, you know, or the evil that you think. And I think, you know, there are a lot of different expressions of evil that man can do in this world. It is all coming from their heart. You would think, why would somebody come up a thing like that? Right? It's because fundamentally we are evil. So God is good, we are evil. Right? But, you know, Bible says that in our evil state, in our fallen state, God came to you and came to me. Right? He came. If I were to use an expression, right? We all know this parable of Good Samaritan. In this world, you are like that one who's beaten up, who's robbed. Sin has robbed you. Satan has been robbing people of the good things that what God wants to give. Satan is essentially, when he came, right? Satan actually came and talked to Eve and said that God is not good. God is actually withholding something better, you know, than what, you know, you could think of or you could get. And then Satan deceived God. Right? I think that's what everybody thinks, that God is withholding. And in Bible, you know, in Psalms it says, he would not withhold any good thing. Right? And if you actually read, even Jeremiah understood this. Jeremiah in Lamentations, in Lamentations chapter 3, maybe we'll read that verse too. Lamentations chapter 3. I think the antidote for our anxiousness, for our depression, right, or for our lack of peace, lack of joy, I think, you know, we need to dwell on the goodness of God, right? Okay. Verse 24, chapter 3, Lamentations, verse 22 onwards. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Okay, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. God is good to those that wait for him, that seek him. Right? This is the goodness of God. And Bible also says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, it is he who loved us first. Out of abundance of his goodness, he loved and he came and he sought you. Right? When you are like this thief, or, you know, that the you know, in the parable of Good Samaritan, this person, you know, who was beaten up, who was robbed, who's about to die, you know, the Good Samaritan comes, he takes him, he takes care of him, and he pays for his stay, right? That's how God came. And let's see how Bible puts it. And maybe, you know, I want to end here. Isaiah, you know, opens up with this great, you know, Isaiah opens his book with this great, okay, chapter 1, Isaiah, I'm reading from verse 3. Or maybe I'm reading from verse 2. Hear, O ye heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, they have rebelled against me. This is talking about nation Israel. How Judah forsook Lord. It says, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Right? And then he goes on, he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. I said we are evil, right? A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Right? And then verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Right? God is describing here the nation of Israel. He's saying, you are my children. I am the one who brought you up. I am the one who raised you. And you rebelled. It's not only for children of Israel. It is, I think, you know, for the whole human race, in my opinion. God is the one who's giving life. God is the one who's giving everything good. And you say, where is God? I don't want to deal with him. You know, he's not good. That's what you hear in this secular world right now. And your condition, my condition, before God visited you and me, this is like this. From head to toe, there is no soundness. All filthiness, all sinful wounds, nothing. And God took the initiative. God sent his only son, who came down, like the good Samaritan. Right? He picked you and me up. He, you know, washed your wounds of sin with his own blood. Right? He healed you completely. And he has given you this new nature, where your evil nature was taken away. Now you have a good nature. Right? That is why we understand and we praise this one God, this good God, you know, whose goodness is overflowing. Right? So any expression of pleasure or goodness or anything that you could think of in this world, it's actually from him. Right? So let's not forget that. And you apply that to your own life, my own life. The greatest good thing that he had done for you and for me is actually giving this salvation. When we should have deserved the hell, he had given us heaven. You know, because he put all of your evil and my evil on this Jesus Christ, and he judged him according to his righteousness so that we could have his goodness, right? That's why you read and, you know, meditate on Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is essentially talking about the goodness of God, right? The goodness of God, how, but, you know, I just want to read maybe one or two, we could go. Psalm 107, it says, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Right? Psalm 106, verse 1, right? It says, praise ye the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Right? And you see same expressions. Praise God because he is good. Praise God because he is merciful. His goodness endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And everything is of him and through him and to him. And if you understand that, all you say is glory to him. Right? Nothing else. So that is our God. Right? So God is good. We are evil. But still God made a way. He came, he reached out and he said, you know, come, I'll give you this goodness of me. Not just once, right? For eternity you're going to enjoy the goodness of God when we get there. So if you understand this God who's good, and if you understand our condition like Isaiah is describing, it is his grace. It is a wonderful thing. It is a miraculous thing that we would even know this God. Right? So let's praise Him. Let's think about His goodness. Not only in the salvation, every day. Right? Every time you get up in the morning, you praise because it's God is sustaining you. There are many people who died. Nothing is guaranteed in this life, right? So let's, you know, praise this God and worship Him. Not only worship Him, meditate on Him. Right? As the preacher said, what is it that comes to your mind when you think about God, right? Can you think of goodness of God? Can you think of righteousness of God? Or can you think of mercy of God? Or can you think of long-suffering of God? Right? Or can you think of the truth that is in God? I think these are all the things that we need in our Christian walk. It is not just a phony faith or a faith, you know, that's built on a sand, right? When the winds blew, when the waters came, everything would be taken away. Let's not bank on that kind of a faith. You know, let's bank on this solid rock, Jesus Christ, you know, who came down. That's why Isaiah 53, right? This glorious, all-powerful, almighty, the creator of everything, you know, became sin for you, for me. Let's praise this God. May God bless this world.